hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day. Busy down here in Florida, getting everybody's orders out to them. And again, we appreciate all the support of healthmasters.com. Also, if you guys saw yesterday, I put up on the website the CBD hemp oil, the organic hemp oil that we have, is on a three-pack special now on the front page of the website. I've had a lot of people that are using it in high dosages on a regular basis, and they want to know how they could buy more of it in bulk, basically, and get a bigger discount. So I put a three-pack special. So you buy two bottles, you get the second one 50% off. And if you buy two of those three packs, you also get free shipping anywhere in the United States, 48 states. So I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. Other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. And this Jeffrey Epstein thing, as much as they're trying to suppress it, the alt news media has grabbed it and is running with it. And now we're beginning to see some of the contacts with Donald Trump and how weird it all is and how he's so deeply tied with Israel and the Mossad. And we're going to talk about Robert Maxwell for just one second. I think it's very, very important because we need to look at this guy, who he is, and his lady Giselle Yacht. This was a man who basically was a huge mogul in England, who had was worth apparently hundreds of billions of dollars, according to him. And he died on November the 5th, 1991. Now, the reason I bring this guy up is he had a daughter, and this is Ghislaine, and Ghislaine basically is the one his yacht was named after, that he fell off of and basically was found naked in the water. He died naked, floating around, I guess, in the water, falling off his 180-foot yacht, which was then later sold. And what we find out is that Maxwell was a Mossad agent. He was deep, deep state with Israel, and he was deep state Rothschild cutout. And what happened is he owned major, major newspapers. In 1984, Maxwell acquired the Mirror Group newspapers from Reed Internationals for $113 million. MGN, now part of Reach Publishing, formerly Trinity Minor, published Daily Mirror, and a whole bunch of other stuff. He had one of the largest media empires in the world. In 1985, Maxwell announced a takeover of Sir Clive Sinclair's ailing home computer company, Sinclair Research, to the Hollis brothers, and just continued to acquire companies. Now, what was interesting about this is when he died, his estate was deeply, deeply, deeply in debt. I've heard numbers up to $400 billion. Now, guys, I don't make this stuff up. $400 billion in debt, and the companies had to file almost an immediate bankruptcy. Everything was done on paper. Everything was financed, and banks all over the world had to basically pick up the pieces of this. His daughter, also a Mossad agent, was the girlfriend of Jeffrey Epstein. I'm tying this together for you guys now. She basically also is a Mossad agent. I'm going on record as saying that. She's a licensed aircraft pilot. She is a licensed jet pilot. She is a licensed helicopter pilot. She is a licensed submarine commander. Now, I didn't know you had to have licenses to operate submarines. She has that too, because Israel has one of the largest submarine fleets running around, and I believe she's a total operative for the Mossad. I'm also going on record to say this. Jeffrey Epstein was not a billionaire. Jeffrey Epstein was another cutout, and he worked for Giselle Maxwell. He was basically her operative that she controlled to use to ensnare business leaders, to basically cause them to be compromised, to force them to do what Israel wanted to do via the Mossad. Nobody else is coming out and saying this. I'm coming out and saying this. This is who Giselle Maxwell was. This is who her dad was. And this is who our boy is. And so, guys, we have this whole thing going on now that this is a giant spy group, giant spy agency running through Israel, making sure they maintain control of the United States political spectrum and maintain control of the U.S. congressional leaders. But Epstein was deeply, deeply, deeply covered in this. Another one we can look at too right now is we can look at the Hollywood mogul. FBI documents have confirmed the involvement of a Hollywood mogul in the Israel nuclear smuggling ring. I've talked about this story before. Again, it's all tied to Mossad and Benjamin Netanyahu. This story kind of starts off talking about how Grant Smith's original story at antiwar.com at first seemed outlandish. It was hard to credit. The gift is this. In the 1970s, Hollywood producer Aaron Malkin, M-I-L-C-H-A-L-N, who then worked for Israeli intelligence, recruited U.S. engineer Richard Smith to become an arms smuggler on Israel's behalf and help Israel to get nuclear weapons. All of this stuff was done in the 60s and in the 70s, and now we have a Hollywood mogul who's involved in it. Remember, guys, the Rothschilds control Hollywood. The Rothschilds control the media empire. Now we realize that Maxwell, hundreds of billions of dollars in debt with all of these different publishing houses that he controlled, all under Mossad control, all under the Sabbatane Kabbalah's control. All of it, guys. And you say, well, gosh, Ted, are you picking on Israel? Yeah, actually, I am picking on Israel today. So if that offends you as a listener, if you're a hardcore Zionist, then you really kind of need to think through what I'm saying and do your own research. One of the reasons, according to my research, that John F. Kennedy was killed is he opposed nuclear weapons being given to Israel. And that was one of the reasons that all of these organizations, including the CIA, which is being controlled by Mossad and Israel, even at that point, came after him to kill him. All of this stuff ties back together to Israel, to the Zionist movement to rebuild the Third Temple and to bring in the Antichrist. All of it. So, guys, you have to look at what's happening globally and who these guys are. I personally believe that Donald Trump is controlled by Israel. I personally believe this is what he is doing. He's doing everything he can to promote the well-being of Israel. You know, his kids are married to Jewish folks. His daughter converted and became a Jew. She's a Shabbat leader, and she also practices Kabbalah. And President Trump told a businessman here on Gateway Pundit, for all you Christians who love him, you're going to vote for me or you're going to be so G.D. poor. There you go. How do you like that? And he didn't say G.D. He used the world war, real word. President Trump, I don't like him. I never liked him. I saw him and I said, how are you doing? And I said to him, you know, you don't like me and I don't like you, but you're going to support me because you're a rich guy. And if you don't support me, you're going to be so G.D. poor, you're not going to believe it. Yeah, he's the born-again Christian pastor that we have in the White House right now, kind of like George Bush. You know, about the Constitution doesn't mean a blankety-blankety thing. This is some weird stuff. But now we're seeing the Lady Giselle. This yacht, by the way, was sold for close to the asking price. I mean, this is a 180-foot yacht. It was huge. It was sold for about 19.75 million pounds back in 92 after his death. And there have been a lot of interest in the yacht, which was named after Maxwell's youngest daughter, the Mossad operative. So there you go, guys. Now you know who was the handler of Jeffrey Epstein, how it tied together, and tomorrow I'm going to go into more detail on Khashoggi, his yacht that was eventually sold to Donald Trump for about 20%, 25% of the asking price. We're going to go to, and Khashoggi's was a major international arms dealer. So we're going to talk about all of this stuff too, and we're also going to talk about how one of his relatives is the guy who was cut up with a bone saw a few months ago. All of it ties back to our illustrious President of the United States, Donald Trump, and all his associations with all of these nefarious, how should I say, interesting people he hangs out with. Just thought I'll let you guys have an update. More coming tomorrow. What do you think, Austin?
Well, one thing that I think everybody has been able to see now, and I mean, especially if you do your research and look at this, if you get into that alleged billionaire club and you're operating on that level with that level of money, you're pretty much only there because they allow you to be there, as it pretty much seems. Because, I mean, having a net worth or having that much cash allows you to pretty much do anything you want and say anything you want. I mean, that's pretty accurate, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And so, I mean, what we've seen, I mean, we know this, and Dad's talked about it from the 90s, you know, when Trump was facing numerous bankruptcies in the 90s, yet he was bailed out on more than one occasion by surprise investors. And the funny thing is, one of the most prominent of these investors was the Rothschild family cutout, Wilbur Ross, their agent. Trump was saved from vast debts in the Tai Mahi Casino Complex and three other major properties by the Rothschilds in the 1990s. And some of these properties would go on to face bankruptcies again in the late 2000s. How the Tai Mahi Casino would later sell for $0.04 on the dollar later on, yet Trump pretty much came out completely financially unscathed from these events. Now, the odd part that a lot of people don't realize is that once he became in office, you guys know, he started to load his cabinet with multiple globalists and multiple banking, essentially just banking elites that run the money, including Wilbur Ross, his commerce secretary, who was also the main individual that helped bail him out in the 90s via the Rothschild. So you can kind of see now, when you start looking at the big picture, how all of these guys in the billionaire status are all interconnected. They all watch each other's back. They all take care of each other. And in turn, they pretty much have to do what they're told when the time comes. It appears that you can pretty much do, for the most part, whatever you want to do when you're in this club. You can pretty much live how you want to live, go what you want to do, say what you want to say for the most part. But if it comes time for you to talk about something or do something or push something or interact some way that they want you to, then you have to do pretty much what they tell you to do. That's just the way it is. And so, I mean, we see this all the time. I was talking to you guys yesterday about Elon Musk with this whole Neuralink company that he started up. Now, I found out that he's invested over $100 million of allegedly his own cash as the co-founder of Neuralink in this company just over the last 2 years. $100 million. The brain company startup Neuralink is looking to start trials on humans next year. It will begin drilling holes into the brain with a custom machine to embed thin threads that connect to a tiny processor, which will be then connected to a smartphone via Bluetooth. Over time, they would like to make the installation process as simple as laser eye surgery. The company is seeking the FDA approval to begin clinical trials next year. Musk said the startup wants to have its first human patients equipped with the technology by the end of 2020. Last year, Neuralink already began conducting animal tests and demonstration of computer-received information from rats in the lab, along with also, as of Tuesday, Musk said that they had already worked with monkeys and that monkeys were able to control the computer with their brain. So this shows you with these companies and these individuals that are in this billionaire club that have just an unlimited amounts of money, as it appears, they can pretty much start doing anything they want, and they use them as the front guys to build these companies. As Amazon, I told you guys at the beginning of the week, Amazon, they have now procured a $10 billion Pentagon contract to house the entire cloud system for the Department of Defense Pentagon. The Pentagon, $10 billion contract. And it was ironic because there are numerous other companies now that have actually filed suit in stating that the entire contract from the beginning was geared to make sure Amazon won the contract under no uncertain terms. Was anybody else going to get it but them? So you see how all these things start to tie in together. And, you know, it's ironic because I had a customer earlier today was actually, he wrote us a letter as far as discussing how now out in California, if you don't have all of your permits, like $2 million in permits and insurance and all this stuff to grow pot, legal pot out in California, they now have invested multiple satellites, as far as millions of dollars in satellites, to monitor all these places in California now to see if they have any illicit growing. And if they do have any illicit growing, they can fine them up to $10,000 a day for growing legal pot, but they don't have the permits, and like $2 million they said it is, and all the different permits, fees, insurance, registration, all this stuff to grow over there. And now what's ironic is that we see millions of dollars pumped into satellites so we can fine people for legally growing a plant that a state has voted to legalize, yet we can't even have any type of satellite or drones to help monitor illegals or prevent people from coming over the border illegally. That's the irony that we see here. So it's okay for them to spend millions of dollars when it benefits their agenda. However, when it doesn't fit their agenda, they absolutely devote zero resources to it. And this is the way everything is beginning to go, and that's why it's so important that everybody continue to wake up on what's really going on right now, because we have a voice, we have a platform, not just us as Health Masters, and we have the show, but everybody has a voice. And this is why we're seeing Google and Facebook and all these companies do everything they can to try to deplatform, demonetize, and blacklist anybody that says anything that doesn't fit the mainstream narrative. If you guys know, last week Paul Joseph Watson essentially was notified that he was being banned on multiple things for community standards because they essentially said that, you know, what he was saying was in violation of their policy, even though majority of stuff he talks about is pretty accurate. But according to Facebook's new rules, it basically goes on to say that Facebook allows individuals to incite violence against other people on Facebook, incite violence, if they deem those people a dangerous individual. Now, Facebook has now tried to come back and try to backtrack on what they said with this, but Paul Joseph Watson already had it screenshotted and set up to release it, and he did. And so they're saying on there that it's okay to incite violence if that person is a dangerous individual, and then they deem Paul Joseph Watson a dangerous individual for violating community standards, for talking about what's going on in England and Sweden and other parts of Europe with the massive migrant horde that have been coming in there. So we see that this unbelievably bigoted behavior towards anybody speaking the truth is not stopping. It's getting worse, which means, everybody, listen here, this means we have to be more vocal. We have to change the narrative. We have to talk about the truth. We have to push the truth of what's really going on. I think it's so funny right now that somebody else sent me an email about some of this circus clown activity going on over there with Trump and Twitter and all this stuff, which, I mean, it's a total joke. The fact that we have a U.S. sitting president of the United States getting in Twitter arguments with members of Congress, it's a joke. I mean, if you can't see that that's full-blown WWE fake news circus clown show, then I don't know what else to tell you. But what's ironic about this is they're making sure they have to keep Trump occupied and controlled with whatever they're doing. Think about this for a second. We have one of the first times a U.S. sitting president is active on social media. He also has millions upon millions upon millions of followers, people that literally will follow him, everything he says every single day. Think about this for a second. What if he came out on Twitter and instead of even replying to the congresswomen, he said, "Do not be distracted by the lies in Congress. Let's figure out who's behind Epstein and why he was allowed to traffic children to pedophile island unvetted and basically unrestricted and had billions of dollars given to him. Oh, or let's go ahead and I'm opening a full-blown investigation into the Federal Reserve and why we cannot audit them, and we're going to look at their balance sheets and make sure we figure out what's going on with them." Think about if he started sending out tweets like that every day and stopped the whole circus clown charade that he's doing. He would literally change the narrative of the American population overnight if he started hammering out tweets like that every single day. But he doesn't. He goes in little goofball arguments with these little congressional women that are complete and total idiots. This is what the narrative is designed to do right now. This is what it's scripted to do. So focus on what's really going on and keep getting the truth out there about what we're seeing, about the fact that Elon Musk is about to start doing full-blown Neuralink brain implants to connect you to your iPhone, the fact that Epstein is still involved in so much stuff for the last 20 years that nobody wants to talk about, and we need to expose this child pedophile ring, not just with him, but in Hollywood as well. All these things need to be discussed and brought out to the mainstream as much as we can physically get them out there, and that is why we're continuing to do what we do here today, Dan.
You know, great synopsis, Austin, and you know, but you're right, and we've talked about this the whole week. You know, we have this gigantic garbage going on with Donald Trump. I mean, it's almost like it's some kind of joke that, you know, that he's able to say stuff like this and go out and do things like this, and everybody's supposed to just forget about it. I mean, just forget about it, and you know, and just not, and pretend like it's not real. And see what it is. The reason that this is allowed to go on to the level it is right now is because of the stock market, because the stock market is just absolutely hyperinflated. If you're in equities right now, just warning to you, hyperinflated. But, you know, the thing about it is, guys, they don't care. They don't care that this thing's hyperinflated. I'm talking about the majority. This is why Paul Craig Roberts, I read that article yesterday, are Americans simply too dumb to survive? I mean, we won't look at what's going on. I mean, when I watch Hulk Hogan fight Andre the Giant, you know, 25 years ago or 30 years ago, I know it's all staged. I'm watching it knowing it's staged. It's entertainment, and that's what they've done to the masses. I mean, we've got a Rothschild banking cartel that has basically decided to pick certain people to become billionaires on this planet. Now, listen to me very carefully. And they give them the nod. and they become extremely wealthy, but they're not, most of the time, they're not given access to all of these billions and billions of dollars because they're cutouts. The Rothschilds aren't going to let them have it. Remember when Donald Trump was filing bankruptcy head over heels, years ago back in the 80s? There's an article from BuzzFeed News. It says, debt-ridden Donald Trump lost his ship of jewels to a Saudi prince. It's all tied together with Saudi Arabia. Remember, Saudi and Arabia and Israel are both allies. This was posted a couple years ago. Trump had a 280-foot yacht. It was a super yacht. And he basically had to turn it over to its creditors. You know, it says, in 1991, however, Trump's lunch was eaten by a foreign competitor when the real estate mogul, in debt to the tune of $900 million, allowed his 280-foot super yacht, Trump Princess, to be turned over to creditors. The yacht was then purchased by Prince Alawid, again, Saudi Arabia, bin Tala. I don't know why we have to have so many names. Here's his name. This is crazy. Listen to this. This is almost a joke. Prince Al-Walid bin Talal bin Abdulaziz Al-Saud. That's his name. A mogul and member of the Saudi royal family. He also happens to have a stake in the former Trump's, another forsaken Trump property, the Plaza Hotel in New York. The Donald had a strange affinity for the swanky yacht that he purchased in 1988 from the Sultan of Brunei for $29 million, which at that time was one of the largest in the world, according to former Trump executive John R. O'Neill. The real estate mogul sailed on it only once, its main voyage from the Azores to New York Harbor. It so terrified him. This is funny. This is our president. It so terrified the president of the president of the United States, when they weighed anchor, the movement convinced him it was sinking, that he would never sleep on it, wrote O'Donnell in his book, Trumped. All of the time, it was docked at the marina. He went on board only to watch boat races or occasionally to entertain important customers or business associates. Still, he wrote, Donald took pleasure in showing off the boat. President Ronald Reagan even sent a telegram of congratulations on the boat's docking. In his book, Surviving at the Top, ironically released while the Donald was in the midst of a massive debt, there's a chapter entitled Ship of Jewels, the Trump Princess. And it was during this time that Trump had to sell his properties. Faced with massive debts and increasing cash flow problems, Trump has been forced to get rid of large chunks of his empire to stay afloat. Among his property he ceded to creditors is his yacht, the New York's Grand Hyatt Hotel, the Trump Shuttle Airline, and his 27% stake in Alexander's Incorporated, a department store chain. This happened all in 91. And guess who came to the rescue? Just like I said earlier, Wilbur Roth from Rothschilds. Guys, Donald Trump may have started off with some money with his dad, but he sure squandered through it quick and ended up being in debt head over heels. I personally believe, and I said this yesterday, I'm going to say it again, I don't believe that Donald Trump's a billionaire. And that's been basically, a lot of people have said that. I believe that's one of the reasons he won't release his tax returns, because he doesn't want to know people that maybe he's not a good businessman as he thinks he is. I think, and I'm going to say something, I shouldn't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. I think at this point he's a Rothschild cutout. There you go. I said it on the show. I believe that he had good intentions when he ran, but I believe he's so basically controlled by the Rothschild banking cartel and Benjamin Netanyahu and the Saudi government and all the rest of them, that we're never, remember, he was going to talk about what happened in 9/11. He was going to talk about all of this stuff. He was going to talk about the vaccinations. But when the banking cartel, the Rothschilds, run the planet, their central reserve banks, all these different countries, and own and control probably 90% of, I'm going to say that too, I believe a Rothschild cutout. Because remember, these guys have to be financed by somebody to get that net worth that high or get that kind of money, because you can't just expand business, plant, equipment, and capital from banks. Have you guys, listen to me for a second, have you guys ever tried to go to the bank and get a car loan or a business loan? I mean, years ago, you know, I first started Health Masters back in 1981. I remember I didn't have enough inventory, and I had to go basically and get a loan from the bank to get inventory. And we were profitable, but we didn't have enough inventory. I mean, I couldn't do what I needed to do because I didn't have enough product. And I went to the bank, and I needed to borrow $9,000, and they wouldn't do it. They told me absolutely not. You can't borrow $9,000 unless you have a cosigner. And I had a friend of mine. His name was Dave, and he told me, he said, "Sure, I'll cosign it for you." Which, by the way, I'm not advising any of you to ever cosign another person's debt. Okay, now listen to me for a second. The Bible tells you not to do that. It tells you, warns you not to do it in the book of Proverbs. But Dave knew me, and we were good friends, and he loaned me the money through that. He co-signed the money, and I paid every penny back. But it was like pulling teeth to do this. When you try to go to the bank as a new business, or even as a business that's been in business for years and years, and you try to set up a merchant account, they put you through HE double sticks to set up a merchant account. And if you start selling too much stuff, they take your merchant account away. Been there, done that, seen all of this. Look at all of these patriot organizations that when they try to sell guns, the banks close their accounts and take their merchant accounts away.
Yep.
Guys, this is the real world. This is the real world of banking. These guys suck. Gosh, they're in my language. They do. Read my language again. They still suck. They're awful. And when you need to go to them and you need to borrow money, you got to have all kinds of collateral. They want you to cross-collateralize your loan. In other words, if you want to buy a second home, they want your first home signed over as a part of the collateral. They want you to – everything's like that. But all of a sudden, the banks come to you and want to loan you billions of dollars to expand to Amazon. The banks come to you and want to loan you billions of dollars to start casinos. The banks come to you and want to loan – it's all crap. They don't do that unless they're told by their higher-ups you want to give this guy whatever he wants. And that's how these guys become billionaires. And their own, lock, stock, and barrel when they have this happen to them, because they know that the creditors, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. You know, you guys need to be praying every day. I thank you, Lord, that I'm the lender. I thank you that I'm always at the right place at the right time every time. I thank you that all my bills are always paid. You got to pray stuff like that, guys. You got to speak to things that you want. And guys, it's so important to realize that when these guys get to that $100 million, $200 million, $300 million, $400 million, $500 million in plant and equipment and brain interface, he didn't put that in there. Banks did that. The international banking cartels. He's not using his own money. They're giving him this money. Remember, they can print money out of nothing. They can give you digital dots and dashes in your current and your doggone ledger books and sheets without even having to print anything. They just transfer to you. That's why they're trying to go to the doggone cryptocurrency so they can continue to do that as much as they want. This is who runs the world. These are the Sabbatane Kabbalah. This is Babylonian money magic. And these are the guys that do this all of the time. And we need to understand who and what we're involved in. So very, very important. But I just wanted to share that with you guys about the banks and what they do. And any of you ever had look at this, trying to get a car loan. It's crazy. The other day, I'm going to share something personal with you. My credit stays frozen because I don't want to mess with my credit stuff. And I tried to unfreeze my own credit, and they data mined me. They were asking me all kinds of questions about things that happened over the last 30 years that I answered correctly, and they still were having to go through rep after rep after rep. Finally, I said to them, you're data mining me. You want to have personal information from me that you can disclose or give to other people. I said, why are you doing this? I said, you know, this is like one of the major credit companies, like Experian Facts or TransUnion. I was talking to one of these guys, and it doesn't make a difference. This is what these guys do. These bankers are rotten to the core. Rotten to the core, and they're the same ones that run the planet. What do you think, Austin?
Well, and that's why I bring up all the time the entire money scam of fractional reserve banking, the ability to loan out 40 to 1 on cash deposits. These are what these guys do until you understand that the banks, long enough time ago, banks are not your friends. When you put your money in the bank, it's not your money anymore. They'll disclose that to you. It's their money. That's why if your money gets seized or they freeze your accounts or they flag you, you don't get a penny out. They just say, I'm sorry, your account's frozen right now. You have to take it up with whoever is higher up. And you go, but wait, that's my money. No, it's not your money. It's our money now. And this is what they've done. This is how they control the world. If you can control the money, you can control the entire population. Because at that point in time, you can control pretty much what everybody does, as majority of things operate, whether we like it or not, with money. This is why they're pushing the cryptocurrency, the Libra, whatever you want to call it, the next phase of global control through monetary policy will be the digital cryptocurrency. Believe it. Because once they have a handle on that, you already see what the Feds did over the last decade as far as with their quantitative easing to infinity. You know, 85 billion dollars a month to their central banks. I mean, $85 billion a month. What do you come up with these numbers, you go, what in the world? Where does this cash come from? Well, they still have to print some of it, or they got to transfer some of it, and vice versa. Once it goes digital, guys, once they have a digital cryptocurrency, there will be no living with them. They will be completely out of control, because at that point in time, balance sheets won't even matter. Cash reserves don't even exist. Gold and silver and platinum reserves don't even exist. Everything is going to be full-blown digital, and they can manipulate it, twist it, control it at any point in time. And if they have another cutout like Epstein that shows up, they just wire him another made-up $1 billion on digits. They just come up with, oh, we've acquired another $5 billion in cryptocurrency. Where'd you get it from? We're the central bank. We don't have to disclose where we get our money from. But you just came up with $5 billion in digital currency. How did that happen? You don't ask us those questions. You can't audit us. You don't ask us what we do. Here's where we have $5 billion. Here you go. Oh, we need another Epstein to run around and fly around on a 727 and traffic kids. Okay, here, give him another $5 billion. It's fine. You can do whatever you want with it. That's what they do. This is exactly how they operate. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting now because... And I'm going to read part of this article to you as they're telling it, but I'm also going to tell you what's really going on here. If you guys saw yesterday, the World Health Organization has now declared Ebola outbreak in Congo a global health emergency. They said that the disease has already killed over 1,600 people this year and is spreading to Uganda and the Rwanda border. They also said the decision comes after a man died in the city of Goma, which is home to around 2 million people in a very large international airport. The global health emergency, only four of which have been declared ever, including the Ebola outbreak in 2014, which killed over 11,000 people. They said now the expert panel has convened three times previously to determine if the situation has escalated enough, and they say that it has escalated into a global emergency. And of course, listen to this. The WHO chief, the World Health Organization, Dr. Tedros, has now pleaded with countries not to seal their borders off to the Congo because it will only hinder the attempts to tackle the epidemic. Now, I don't know if this World Health Organization chief, Dr. Tedros, has ever looked at as far as what is proper quarantine procedures in a breakout of any type of issue, but you generally seal it off and you have a quarantine area. You don't allow it. So what they're doing now is they're trying to play this as a global emergency that the rest of the world needs to help out with, and now they're going to start saying that we need to start getting the refugees out of the Congo so they don't get Ebola, because it is a Ebola outbreak global emergency. You already know, we've reported this repeatedly now, how there's been reports of thousands of individuals from the Congo that have come in through the Mexico-U.S. border into Border Patrol now. They don't even know if these guys have Ebola. They've already stated, as far as the scientists that have worked on this stuff, they said that it can take anywhere from 14 to 21 days to even show symptoms with Ebola. But wait, didn't Merck already come out with an unlicensed vaccine that they said had a 97% effective rate in preventing Ebola? That's right. Why isn't that working? Why, since they started testing the vaccine, has the Ebola outbreak skyrocketed? Why are we having individuals that have Ebola or coming from countries that have Ebola now showing up at the southern border randomly out of nowhere, and nobody can figure out how they made the 8,000-mile trek from the Congo to South Texas? Why is that happening right now? Now we have the World Health Organization saying this is a global emergency and everybody needs to do their part to help out. This, again, seems to me like the script from 2014, 2015, when the Ebola outbreak started again back then, and it seemed back then that they did not have all their ducks lined up to adequately get this Ebola spread properly on the global level, and there's a high probability now they are getting it rolled out and they have it dialed into the way they need it dialed in, and this is what's happening now, because this is just too coincidental to see what's going on, all these different things happening in the United United States right now, and now all of a sudden, under the radar, we have all these individuals from Congo showing up, getting into Border Patrol, and they're pretty much told, all you do is get across the border and turn yourself into Border Patrol. Don't run, don't hide, don't run off, just go right to Border Patrol. Say, hey, I'm here, I need Border Patrol, go arrest me, detain me, and then they get transferred to any other part of the United States that Border Patrol or DHS deems. So, very strange thing going on over there right now, very odd with the timing, and very odd that Merck has been working on an unlicensed, uncontrolled, by the way, an unregulated vaccine for the last year over in Africa, in this area, that the same place the Ebola has now growing exponentially, Dad.
The problem is they can't get the Ebola to mutate quickly enough and to transfer quickly enough, and they don't have a high enough kill rate on the population, is my opinion. And so they're continuing working on vaccines that are going to allow it to spread faster. That's why these workers who are pushing these vaccines in these different areas in the Congo are being killed on a regular basis, because they come into a village and there's no Ebola. They give everybody vaccines. Now there's Ebola everywhere. People are dying, and they're like, what the heck? What did you guys just do to us? And so then they kill the workers. This happens all the time there in Africa. It's like a giant petri dish. They want to see how many of these guys they can kill. Remember, AIDS was originally developed, as far as some of the researchers say, to basically wipe out the black population in Africa. And it was an abysmal failure, because they were able to reproduce while they had AIDS and still have two or three babies, and leave the babies basically fatherless and motherless, as both the parents died of AIDS, and then the children came down with AIDS almost immediately when they were teenagers. They were able to reproduce, and so it didn't work. I saw that in Kenya. They said parts of Kenya have 100% of the population is affected with AIDS, and they have all these children just sitting around on the streets and in the medians of highways that have no parents, with little fires going, sitting in little tents, you know, little makeshift shanties. I mean, it's horrible. You think, what the heck? And then everybody's got AIDS. You're like, wow, that's a place I really don't want to visit. Well, yeah, I was there once. I don't really want to go back. But guys, it's one of these things you've got to realize. This is all done by the World Health Organization, which is another Rothschild-controlled entity. I've told you this story a few years ago. I had a major TV Christian network contacted me through another major TV Christian pastor, and they wanted me to be their spokesperson to promote a bunch of vitamin products to be pushed through the World Health Organization into Africa. It was a multi-level marketing thing. They were trying to push through Christian TV to make a lot of money with. They were trying to make money marketing this vitamin internationally through a multi-level marketing thing. And I don't do multi-level marketing. In case you hear me talking right now, I don't do multi-level marketing. But they wanted me just to be the spokesperson for this product, and we had it assayed. Austin and I, we talked about this a few months ago on the show. And it had, in some of the categories, it had 0% of what it said it had in the label. I told them, I said, I don't have any interest in doing this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to promote a product like this. I said, it's primarily sand. It was primarily silica. And you're like, this is crazy. And you're going to tell these kids they're getting the vitamins they need because they're using this product. I'm not going to be part of this nonsense. See, this is all controlled through the World Health Organization, controlled through the United Nations, which is another Rothschild entity, which started off as the League of Nations, which turned into the United Nations, which is controlled through the CFR, which is controlled through the international banking cartels. It always goes back to the same guys, and we need to realize that, and we need to understand that. It's so very important. By the way, in Central America now, they're doing massive advertising blitzes, and George Soros, Rothschild cutout, is doing this. And they're telling the people in Central and South America, advertisements in the media and online and on their TVs, promising free stuff to migrants who immigrate to the United States. I kid you not. Texas local CBS reporter Sidney Hernandez interviewed illegal aliens crossing the border from Central America to the U.S., and each of them told her that they migrated because they saw advertisements online, in newspapers, and on TV for free American services and welfare assistances if they came to the United States. A man admitted posing as a father to a child who's not related to him in order to gain admission into the United States. Guys, you really think that millions of people can be mobilized? Now, you think for a second when we hear. Do you really think that millions of people can be mobilized like they've done to cross thousands of miles and not being financed by another group? And not being, I mean, who's paying for the food? Who's paying for the toiletries? Who's paying for the shoes? Who's paying for all this transport? You can't walk thousands of miles. It doesn't work that way. They're being brought in, and they're being brought in by the Rothschild banking cartel. By the way, compromised Rand Paul now is introducing a bill to quadruple the number of working immigrants in the United States. I warned you guys years ago that Rand Paul is not Ron Paul, and the apple fell far from the tree with this guy. 140 out of 197 Republican legislatures in the House voted for a bill, H.R. 1044, Fairness for High-Skilled Immigrants Act, drafted by business groups and Democrats, provides green cards to 300,000 Indian contract workers and greatly increases the incentives for more Indian college graduates to take jobs in the United States. Wow. You know, Ron Paul now is getting really close to President Trump and now working in the Middle East and all that's going on over there. I mean, again, you got to think about it. What are they going to do to Rand Paul now to get him? You know, Austin, years ago when he turned against his dad in that election, I think it was in 2008, endorsed the, I think it was Kerry, I can't remember anymore, and turned against his own father before the election was even done, before the primaries were even done. I had enough of them then, by the way. Oh, by the way, tech billionaires, the Koch brothers, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and Democrats are leading lobbyists now to import workers for American jobs. Does it ever end? Does it ever end? Koch brothers, more Rothschild cutouts. Can't make this stuff up. Trump rage tweets, radical left Democrats, if you're not happy here, leave. Again, more divisive politics is all he's doing. President Trump rages against tweeting against brave radical Democrat women in Congress, telling them to leave if they're not happy in America. He accused them of wanting open borders and wrote, wait a minute, isn't this the same president that told us last month or 2 months ago now that he's going to have millions of people deported? Oh, yeah, that's right. That never happened. And then he came back a couple weeks later and said it again. Yeah, that's never happened again. And he wrote that the migrant detention centers are not concentration camps. Well, I differ with him about that, by the way. He quoted, anytime you have a concentration of people in a camp, it's a concentration camp. I thought I'd mention that. He quoted with scorn Ilhan Omar's comment that on the 9/11 attack, some people did something. He seemed to target Alexandria Cortez. I'm not going to read this crap. He's playing who's the biggest wrestler on the block right now with these girls, and it's all Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Tech mogul Peter Thiel, who, by the way, likes to have blood transfusions, says Google is a threat to national security and may have committed treason. The Rothschild cutout. Mexico and Guatemala here respond to President Trump's safe third country policy. President Trump introduced a third country rule that requires migrants traveling to the U.S. through another country to apply for asylum in that country first before being eligible for the asylum of the U.S. Mexico and Guatemala are pushing back against the rule. I mean, how can Donald Trump tell another country they've got to do this? Mexico says it will not ratify the treaty without authorization from its Congress. Guatemala's constitutional court blocked its president from signing Trump's proposal, and the ACLU said it will sue the Trump administration as soon as the action goes into effect. Donald Trump is now telling other countries what they're supposed to do with their migrants, but we can't control what we do with our own migrants. Another article, political violence is destroying our country. Former Antifa member reveals how young people are drawn to domestic terror group. None of the Democratic presidential candidates or any of the four progressive congressional leaders, women who were criticized by Trump, have condemned the recent firebomb attack on ICE by an Antifa member. William Van Sprousen, CNN, has been praising Antifa for several years and even made a documentary that promotes Antifa. Gabriel Nadales joined Antifa 10 years ago when he was 16. He says it has become increasingly more violent and that college professors are teaching Antifa's philosophy in the classroom. Surprise, surprise. This is Frankfurt School through Columbia that has permeated the entire higher educational systems of the United States. If you want to call them higher educational system, I would have to call them higher indoctrinational communist teaching centers, what I have to call them. Guys, this is what Antifa, it was called Antifa. The people were saying, well, Antifa was formed as a model from the brown shirts. No, it wasn't. Antifa was used in the Revolutionary War, the communist overthrow of Mother Russia back in the early 1900s. It went on for 20 years before they finally got the Tsar killed. And this is what people need to realize, guys. Russia is the breeding ground for all of these groups and where they came from. And they left Russia, pushed into Europe, then pushed into the United States for world dominion. And the irony of all of this stuff to me, Austin, is that Russia has proven beyond any questionable doubt, the Soviet Union did, that global communism does not work. When you incentivize people by giving them stuff for not producing anything, they have a tendency to chill out and watch TV all day or go out to lay on the beach all day. Years ago, I remember I was in Hawaii. This is back in the early 80s. And there was a man who was sitting by the pool. Yeah, this guy had rings and watches. I mean, this guy was super wealthy. And finally, I started talking to him because here I'm young. I'm in my 20s, and I'm wondering, what the heck did this guy do to get this much money? And I asked him, I said, how long have you been here? He said, I've been about 2 months. I said, you've been in the hotel for 2 months? He goes, yeah, I spent about 3 to 5 to 6 months a year here in the hotel. We're from Wisconsin, and it's cold there right now, so we like to come down here to Hawaii. It's nice. And so we just live in the hotel. And I said, well, can I ask you a question? I said, what do you do for a living? I'm really curious. He goes, well, I'm a dairy farmer. I've got like 1,500 acres of dairy lands that we have you know, the ability to produce milk on. I said, do you have the ability to produce milk? I said, how much milk do you produce? He goes, we don't produce any milk. I said, you don't produce any milk? He goes, no, no. He says, we, you know, they pay us, you know, today's dollars would be several million a year, you know, to not produce milk. And I said, so you're making all of this money by not producing milk? He goes, yeah. Now, guys, that's communism. That's not free enterprise. If he has that much land that's being utilized for nothing, it's just sitting there, why doesn't he find something that he can do with that land that's going to generate revenue and provide a need or a service or a product for people who want that need or product or service? They don't do that. They don't do that. They basically allow you not to do anything, and then all the taxpayers have to fund his lifestyle in Hawaii. That was a big eye-opener for me, Austin. I was like, how old was I then? I think I was 26, I believe, when all that happened. I thought to myself, wow, this is nuts. I cannot believe that the country is pushing this socialism agenda like this. So, guys, think through what you get involved in. Think through what these guys are doing and realize that we're not making this stuff up. What do you think, Oz?
No, that's really well said, and I mean, that's what we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years now as well, which is the basic social welfare program in the United States, as far as with the food stamps, with the housing assistance. Remember, Obama started the free Obama phones. I mean, oh, you get a free phone, you get a free phone. Everybody goes, oh, we're voting for Obama, he gave me a free phone. And that's how easy some people can be bought and voted for. You know, oh, I got a $50 phone for free with a free prepaid card every month, and I get free housing, and I get free food, and I get free government subsidy, and I'm cool. I'm happy. I'm good with that. And the issue is, some people actually need that, but the vast majority of people that I have seen involved in that have abused it significantly. It was never designed from the beginning to keep people sustained and alive for extended periods of time by getting stuff for free. It was designed to help somebody in need that's going through a very harsh financial time and they need some help for a couple months. That's what it's there for. You know, but now we've built generation after generation after generation that are legitimate welfare babies. Their parents have been completely living subsidies from the government. Their grandparents were on it. And then you see what goes down the line. There is no work ethic. There is no production of anything. There is no building. There is no nothing. Like that's all gone now. And that's exactly what they want to do to push the communist agenda. Also, too, in other news, some health topics I wanted to touch base on today. One of the new articles that came out on Food and Function Journal, this is interesting. You guys know Dad and I talk about eating organic whole eggs all the time. I love whole eggs. I eat them all the time. I know Dad does, too. Incredibly good for your cholesterol, even though people say that it's not. Also, one of the most bioactive, if not the most bioavailable protein that you can physically eat. Really easy to digest. But now they're saying that eggs should be a crucial part of your diet if you have diabetes. They said eggs have a very low glycemic index score, which means essentially consuming them has almost zero impact on your blood sugar because all it is really healthy absorbable fat and really digestible protein. That's pretty much the construction of an egg. On top of that, eggs are an excellent source of protein, it says. One egg has about 7 grams of protein, and it's filling. They're very filling. You eat 4 or 5 eggs in one sitting, they'll fill you up even though it has zero carbohydrates in it. The findings of the study published in Food and Function Journal reinforce the idea that eggs are great for people with diabetes. Researchers investigated the effect of daily egg consumption on individuals who were pre-diabetic or had type 2 diabetes. They found that after 12 weeks of those individuals eating just one large egg daily, participants showed a 4.4% decrease in their overall blood glucose level. They also recorded lower insulin resistance and no negative impact on cholesterol levels. In fact, some of the individuals actually had their HDLs go up, concluding that one large egg a day may actually reduce the risk of diabetes without increasing blood cholesterol. So it's ironic about it. This is just one egg, one whole egg. So you can imagine throwing in maybe 2 or 3 eggs a day, especially when you're trying to maintain healthy blood sugar, is crucial. That's why I tell people all the time, one of the best meals you can eat in the morning is a couple whole eggs. Me, you know, as far as my training and my weight and whatnot, I like to eat about 4 or 5 in one meal. Obviously, based on your caloric intake, you kind of go up and down on what you're trying to intake. But you eat 4 or 5 whole eggs first thing in the morning, you're not hungry for a little bit. I mean, it really starves off the appetite. It gives you really good digestible protein, really healthy fat. And it's just something that's really, really, really easy and affordable to use on a regular basis. And again, it has great properties of maintaining healthy blood sugar. That's why if you ever notice, if you eat a couple eggs in the morning, your energy levels and your blood sugar stay flat. You have no spikes, you have no drops, you have nothing. It's real flat. You get a good meal in, you feel full, you feel alert, you feel energetic, and you're good to go until your next meal. And that's why I always recommend eating those, and try to do the best you can to get either at least full free range or certified organic. You don't want to eat just the regular nasty eggs that have all the hormones and steroids and stuff like that. There's no reason to eat those whatsoever. But I thought this article was pretty cool, Dad, because we talk about it all the time, but now they're actually recommending it for people that are diabetic, which we've talked about for years. And again, especially if you use a healthy diet, which we talk about in our article, along with having the supplements with the healthy blood sugar kit, that really does an incredibly good job of changing your overall diet, including throwing in things like eggs, and then throwing in the supplements that we have in our healthy blood sugar protocol can really, really, really get your blood sugar under control in a pretty quick period of time.
I love eggs. I eat 3 or 4, 5, 6 a day, every day, all the time. I eat eggs all the time. I mean, they're one of the healthiest foods you can eat because of what they do. I mean, you remember, the reason they're yellow, the yolks, is because they contain a large amount of sulfur, which is critical for your hair, for your fingernails, for your skin. People are always saying, how can you reduce the risks of, you know, the onset of gray hair? Because I'm in my 60s, I've got very, very little gray hair, and I say, it's easy. Take a really good methylated B vitamin, take a sufficient quantity of zinc, and eat enough sulfur. You got to have sulfur, guys, for your hair. Otherwise, your hair starts getting dry and brittle as you get older. It starts falling out, all the other things. Eggs are very important. By the way, there's a really good article here. It's from All Market, and it says, and it's posted at the healthbastards.com website, news site. Trump's fight with the Fed over interest rates is a scripted farce.
There you go.
This is a bizarre narrative being circulated in mainstream economic media, and it goes something like this. The Federal Reserve has capitulated on liquidity tightening, yet the U.S. economy is stronger than ever. Isn't that weird? There are a couple things wrong with that statement. First, the Fed has not capitulated on its tightening policy. In fact, we have been hearing since last November from the mainstream media and some alternative media the Fed was going to lower its Fed fund rates and end monthly balance sheet cuts at any moment. Yet several months later, it's still not happening because Trump's doing what he's supposed to do. I just thought I'd mention that. Just last month, the Fed cut another $38 billion in assets from its balance sheet, a move that was barely discussed in the mainstream system because it's not fit with the prevailing delusion that the Fed has already capitulated. When the Fed cuts rates back significantly and assets dump stop, then and only then can anyone say with authority the Fed has ended its tightening cycle. Secondly, the U.S. economy is not stronger than ever. It is the weakest just before it was in the credit crash of 2008. And here is where the disconnect begins. If in Fed policy versus public expectations and the behavior of the Trump administration, almost everyone, including the Federal Reserve, Donald Trump, and the media are talking about how the U.S. economy is booming. So why all the fuss over the Fed interest rates? The truth is more theater for the masses. Guys, it's a circus clown show is all this is. Guys, then it goes into the article, says Trump's company has faced at least 4 separate bankruptcy threats since the 1990s, yet he has been bailed out on more than one occasion by surprise investors, the prominent of whose, those investors, was the Rothschild family through their agent Wilbur Ross. Rothschilds owned the Federal Reserve Bank, guys. Trump was saved from his vast debts tied to his Taj Mahal casino complex and 3 other major properties by the Rothschilds in the 90s, and some of these properties would go on to face again in 2009. The Taj Mahal would later sell, as Austin said earlier, for 4 cents on the dollar. Yet Trump would always come out financially unscathed from these billion-dollar losses. Trump's reputation and perhaps the entire current fortune is owed to the Rothschilds. This is probably the reason why, after becoming president, Trump loaded his cabinet, listen, with multiple globalists and banking elites, including Wilbur Ross as his commerce secretary. Guys, he looks like Goldman Sachs. Trump's administration looks like a who's who of Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and the Rothschild banking cartel. Why? Because he's their do-boy. Just thought I'd mention that. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I got the opportunity to pray for you again this morning. I'm so blessed to be part of your life, part of your family. It means so much to me. You guys are awesome. And, you know, I don't know how to say, but thank you in so many different ways. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from Health Masters. Thank you for getting your toothpaste products and your supplies from us and all the other things that you do. You say, well, it won't make any difference if I buy a tube of toothpaste from you guys. Well, what did we make, a dollar on a tube of toothpaste or something like that? But you know what, guys? If everybody listening right now bought a tube of toothpaste that didn't have fluoride, didn't poison you from us, it supports the show. So when you do that kind of stuff and you kind of put us out there and you say, God, we're going to support the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, it means the world to me. I want to thank you so much. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Austin, go ahead and finish it up.
Absolutely. And we do appreciate all the support, guys. Thank you for all the emails. We get a lot of support from everybody as far as just getting feedback and everything, especially whenever we have people giving us, you know, some news articles, especially stuff that we haven't seen or something. That's always good. So we appreciate all that. If you need anything, contact us at healthmasters.com. You can call us on our 1-800 number on there. You can email us on our contact form. We do the best we can to stay up to date with everybody and stay in touch with everybody. The emails, most of which I answer, I try to stay up with them. I do get behind sometimes just because we get so busy here. And also, too, if you're just sending me an article or you're just sending a comment or something, I try to respond when I can. But if it's not something that has to have a response, sometimes I won't respond to it. But I do see them. So thank you. That's why I always tell you guys I appreciate those when I get them. And so if you guys need anything, that's what we're here for at healthmasters.com. Just trying to do the best we can to wake up the population and really do the best we can to help keep everybody as healthy and as in best shape as we possibly can. That's why I continue to tell, you know, just exercise a little bit, even if it's just doing push-ups in your house. I hear a lot of people, like Dad said, you know, we talk here, oh, I can't go to the gym, I don't have time. That's fine, you don't have to go to the gym. You know, I mean, I got a pull-up bar over my house, just a pull-up bar on my door panel. You just put it right there in the door, locks it in. You can sit there and do sit-ups on the floor. You can do push-ups on the floor. You can do pull-ups. Those three things right there, and then if you want to throw in body squats, those four things right there, if you really just want to get a whole workout in, four circuit set right there. Pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, and body squats. Try to get as many reps as you can on each. Basically go to failure. One time all the way around, one circuit, four of them, four circuits. Bam, 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 bam. You'll be knocked out in like 15 minutes, and I promise you, you will get a good workout in, especially if you push yourself. So I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do like that to stay in good shape and exercise without ever even leaving the house. And again, be sure to check out the product of the week on the website, Cortisol Buster 1. It's a great product. I take it every day. Actually, I have a bottle on the desk right now. I'm about to take four of them after I get off the show. It's been a wild morning already. So be sure to check that out on sale for over 10% off. And as I said at the beginning of the show, the CBD hemp oil, or organic hemp oil, as a three-pack special on the front page of the website now. Buy two bottles, get the third bottle 50% off. So be sure to check that out if you're using that product in therapeutic dosages and you want to keep a large supply on it, because we do try to keep as much as we can in stock, but we do run out occasionally just waiting on a new batch because of how expensive and how time consuming it is, because every batch we do gets third party assay tested to ensure that the milligram dosage is higher, as high, if not higher than we say it is, and it's pure and doesn't have any contaminants in it. So thank you for the support of healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.